The other day, I listened to Enkyo Roshi, who gave a talk at Umpaya on Jinjo Koan. And I've always admired people that can use flowery prose, and she just gives incredibly beautiful talks that flow. And then I was reminded of Genpo Roshi and Bernie Roshi, who studied with Mizumi Roshi, and although they're native born, you know, they're Americans, when they would give talks, it would be in broken Japanese. They would mimic Mizumi Roshi. So it's funny. You have to find your own voice. So I tried to use flowery prose, but just didn't work for me. And I don't know, perhaps because of my Baptist roots, I tend to view myself as coming across as a Baptist minister. I want to focus on the notion of sin, having said that, and not sin as it is often defined. Because most of us are converts. We were raised Christian. Now, according to the dictionary, sin is estrangement from God. It's an offense. It's a violation, a fault, or an error. And it produces guilt. But when I talk about sin, my focus is on the original definition. So what's the original definition? It means to miss the mark. Mm-hmm. To miss the mark. And remember, JC, known as Jesus Christ, spoke Aramaic. And so if you were to look up the definition of sin in the Aramaic language, you would see that it really means not that you're bad, that you are estranged from God, but simply that you missed the mark. And for us as Zen practitioners, missing the mark has to do with not being aware, not working towards the realization of our true nature. Now, according to Buddha, the first step towards self-realization begins with us seeing the experience of life as it is. Seeing the experience of life as it is. And in doing so, it means that we must see the truth of suffering, the reality of dissatisfaction. You see, we can't ignore it, and we can't attempt to examine only the glorious, pleasurable aspects of life. Our search for Treasure Island will only lead to more pain. And dreaming only provides a temporary escape. Since real escape is impossible, we must begin by facing the reality of our living situation. And this involves facing the darkness of our ignorance, which leads to the darkness of enlightenment. When we sit, we create a space in which we are able to expose and undo our neurotic games, our self-deception, our hidden fears and hopes. So as it goes, we begin to see our sinning, how we are missing the mark. Let's look at case 86 of the Blue Cliff Record. Humans, everybody has its own light. Ingo's introduction. Controlling the world, he allows not the least speck of dust to escape. He cuts off the diluted stream of thought, leaving not a drop behind. If you open your mouth, you are mistaken. If you doubt for a moment, you have missed the way. Tell me, what is the eye that has pierced the barriers? See the following. The main subject. Woman spoke to his assembly and said, everybody has his own light. If he tries to see it, everything is darkness. What is everybody's light? Later, in place of the disciples, he said, the halls and the gate. And again he said, blessing things cannot be better than nothing. Secho's verse, it illuminates itself absolutely bright. He gives a clue to the secret. Flowers have fallen, trees give no shade. Who does not see if he looks? Seeing is non-seeing. Non-seeing is seeing. Facing backwards on the ox, he rides into the Buddha hall. So let's take a little closer look at what I just shared with you. Controlling the world, he allows not the least speck of dust to escape. This is what we call holding fast. If you open your mouth, you're mistaken. So what's the point here? Simply that the truth is there before we speak. If he tries to see it, everything is darkness. Why? Because we are the light. How many times have you heard me say, the eye cannot see itself, the ear cannot hear itself. We're it. And if we try to reflect upon ourselves, our subjectivity is turned into objectivity. It's only in samadhi can we catch hold of our own subjectivity. The halls and the gate, Uman asked, what is everybody's light? But no one could reply, so he gave the answer himself. In saying the halls and the gate, he means that truth is not remote, but it is under our nose. So see the halls and the gates, or you could say the universe. You'll find it there. Blessing things cannot be better than nothing. Anything cannot surpass nothing. It illuminates itself. It does not borrow the light from others. See? It illuminates itself. You can't borrow the light from someone else. Flowers have fallen, trees give no shade. And where's that to take place? Where is that found? It's found in our absolute samadhi. Who does not see if he looks? If we have the eye, then we can see it. Seeing is non-seeing, non-seeing is seeing. And this is true. This is found in our samadhi. Facing backward on the ox represents one's true nature. Now he rides the ox facing backwards. He is wholly free to go facing any way, backward or forward, right or left, up or down. He rides into the Buddha hall. He does that because he's the Buddha himself. You see, at this stage, wisdom is non-identification with the teaching, non-identification with the path, non-identification with the technique. You will remember the last picture in the ox herding collection. What do we have? We have the Bodhisattva coming down from the mountains with his belly exposed and a flask of wine back into the marketplace. He's forgotten everything. Ordinary mind is the way. You see, he doesn't identify with anything because he has become the path. Hakuin said, once you have reached this realm of seeing without views, you're independent and free.
Sentient beings are numberless.